Welcome to A-State Connections. I'm your host, Jonathan Reeves. Over the next hour, you'll hear interviews and stories about the people of Arkansas State who are making an impact throughout the communities in the region. The show not only focuses on things that are going on at just the Jonesboro campus, but also on the other campuses across the ASU system. More information in today's features on A-State Connections can be found at kasu.org. Go to Shows and find the A-State Connections drop-down link. You can also find the show segments on the new KASU app. Just use the search term KASU app in iTunes or Google Play and download for free. Up first, building preparations. Arkansas State University is getting buildings ready for students to return to campus for classes in a few weeks. John Carville is safety officer and emergency manager at Arkansas State, and this is my interview with John Carville. What have you been doing over the summer so far as you all are kind of preparing for the academic year to start? You know, faculty and staff are coming back on campus. What have you all been doing in your office?
You know, it's funny. My previous position here at the university was in space management, and space management is not about the space above us. It's about the space around us in our rooms and things like that. We've been doing a lot of things that are related to space management. So for example, some of the stuff we used to do is we would count like assets and equipment, things like that. So we'd know where it was in rooms and things. One of the things that we counted back then was toilets and urinals. And we put those into the system so that we would know, like, if we worked on those, if how often the preventive maintenance came up on them, if there were issues. That turned out to be not very useful at the time, so we stopped counting those and accounting for those. However, we just went back this semester, and just so happens that the COVID capacity for a bathroom is the number of toilets / urinals in the space. And so if I had 10 years ago had foresight to think, hey, we're going to need to know how many toilets are on this campus, we wouldn't have had to do that. But we kind of had to do some of that. We went and we counted, and you know, just at the, you know, the time 10 years ago, it just didn't seem like something that was worth getting into. Now, if you're talking about, you know, some more complex equipment, maybe so, but a commode, not that big a deal. All of a sudden, it turns out it is. The other thing that we've done with space management is we've gone and we've had to come up with a COVID capacity for every classroom so that we can make sure that everybody is 6 feet apart. And what's interesting about that is, so our the folks over in facilities management, our university planner and his team, they've come up with a honeycomb shape, a 6-foot honeycomb. And if you know from nature, that's a honeycomb is a good efficient shape. You can fit more of those shapes into a space than you can any other shape. And so that's what they came up with. They came up with a six-side, you know, a honeycomb shape, a hexagon that's got that a 6-foot side on it. And anywhere the sides touch in the room, that's where you put a chair. And that's how you find out. That's how you can most efficiently get 6 feet of space for everybody in a space. And so when we kind of moved away from counting assets and things like that in space management 10 years ago, we went into trying to do some academic space management and looking at some software that would help us move classrooms around if people overloaded classrooms and making sure we had the most efficient use of our space. At that time, there wasn't a great need for it campus-wide, just in the normal everyday course of things. But we found out over this last summer semester that it really would have been nice to have a piece of software that could have moved stuff around for us like that. But, you know, irony, I suppose, I'm doing a lot of things over this summer that I would have done, you know, 10 years ago. And that's just a few of the things. I mean, we're approving plans left and right. We're looking at different plans for different events that are going on campus. And the thing that I always tell everybody, whether it's a football game that we're looking at bad weather for or anything like that, my goal is never to deny an event or say you can't have it. It's to help you have it safely and to make sure that there, if there are anything else we need to think about, that we have a contingency plan. And now that being said, I've worked with the Arkansas Department of Health pretty closely on these events over the summer. And the folk, the guy I have, that I've been working with, you know, he's in the same, he has the same kind of mentality as me. We're not looking to deny events, but we want to make sure that everything can happen safely. That being said, if we have the watermelon eating contest out here, you know, right here at the beginning of the semester, we might want to think twice about that, because that might be the kind of event that gets people close enough together, doing some of the kind of things that could cause us to have to go all online much more quickly than we would want to. So that, you know, that's, you know, kind of a nutshell what we've been doing. We're looking at spaces, we're looking at plans. We're trying to come up with the best, most practical way to do this and the safest way that we can.
So when people start coming back on campus, the campus is going to look maybe a little bit different. There's going to be a lot of signage everywhere. There's some things that people need to know. Can you kind of go into that as to how that's changed a little bit and a lot more what people are going to see, students and others, when they come back?
So one of the things you may see right off the bat are the little red dots with the wolf paw in the middle of them. And that means what it, I think it looks like it means, and that's where you're supposed to stand. There, those dots are 6 feet apart, and you're not going to see them everywhere. You know, you're not going to see them outside of every classroom, because you're, you know, that will start to kind of fade out, fade into the background, become part of the background, if you will. One of the other things I used to do before I got into space management on campus was I made signs. So I can tell you that more signs don't necessarily mean more people will read them. You got to be strategic with those kinds of things. And you've got to be sure that you put up a consistent message. So you're going to see those red dots. You're going to see when you enter an elevator, there's going to be a sign that says, you know, stand at this spot for social distancing. You're going to see chairs that have been strapped with some vinyl. It's going to take quite a bit to get that off of there. It's not something you can just rip off. It's got like an eyelet and a little clip that goes into it. And that's just there to show you, hey, leave this chair open. You don't need to be sitting here, to provide social distance and those kinds of things. So there'll be those kinds of, there'll be signs when you walk into a building that talk about the symptoms that you should be monitoring yourself for so that you don't come in if you have those. Signs that ask you to consider refraining from entering if you are at risk or in a high risk category, and it lists all of the categories that are considered high risk for COVID. What else? Yeah, things are going to be a little different. You're right. Things are going to look a little different. You know, and one of the things that I've been thinking about, since, oh gosh, I'm not sure how long I've been thinking about this, but it's kind of a personal sign. And you may remember the safe zone signs that we had, the little rainbow signs that were about 4x4. You could put them up. And you've had that training and wanted to identify your office that way. And one of the things I've kind of thought of, it's kind of like that. But if you've ever been to a factory, you'll go in and you'll see a sign maybe that says something like, our goal is zero workplace injuries, or something like that. So I'm thinking something smaller, something that would say, you know, about that 4x4 size that you could have in your office that says, my goal is zero contact traces. And that's what I mean by that. It's kind of a rallying cry, right? I mean, first of all, relative zero, meaning no one outside of my immediate family. So if I was to come up positive with COVID-19, the only people I would have to say that need to quarantine are going to be my family, because they're the only ones I've been in close contact with. And so as we start to see this definition of what a direct contact is, and I don't know if anybody else has talked about this on your program, But what we're hearing from the Department of Health and from the CDC is that a direct contact is defined as being within 6 feet of a person for 15 minutes or more. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a lot of time, but it sounds manageable also. So that's where this "my goal is zero contact traces" kind of comes from. I can do that. And if you walk into my office and you see my sign that says "my goal is zero contact traces," it reminds you, you know, I don't want to be on your list and you don't want to be on my contact trace list. Let's stay 6 feet apart from each other. Let's wear our masks the whole time that we're in here together. And if we all can do that, I really think that we can impact this thing in a great way.
And I know that with everything going on, you know, as we start up with classes here pretty soon, how will you continue working with state officials and with the chancellor and others as we're going through the fall semester, you know, just to try to, because I know that you may have to update things. Things may have to ebb and flow and be kind of fluid as we go along, depending on what, you know, what may happen.
Well, the short answer is very closely. We'll be working very closely with state officials, very closely with the chancellor and the Emergency Operations Center, just to make sure that we've got the most up-to-date information. And Jonathan, I'll tell you, it's hard to keep up with. It's hard to keep up with all the changes. And this is not a criticism. It's just an acknowledgement of the fact that we're in uncharted territory. We learn new things every day. And, you know, we see a lot of information out there about mask wearing and the effectiveness and of that kind of stuff. And that's really interesting to see that kind of change, you know, over the course of this whole thing. And the point that a lot of those folks make when you look at the videos that are proponents of masks is that this is how science works. When we get new information, it changes. I was expressing a little frustration to a colleague, a medical professional who I know, said, "Hey, you know, we just got all these changes that came down, you know, an hour ago. We don't know what to make of them." And he just kind of said, "Hey, just be prepared for those to be fluid over the next couple of weeks, because we're learning so much more about this now. And we're going to learn more about it over as the fall moves on." And so it's really important for us to stay up to date on that, all that information, and to share it freely to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Right. So do you think that there is going to be a time where, if there are outbreaks that take place at Arkansas State, some people may be wondering, how will Arkansas State contain those and kind of react to that? Can you go into that, if you don't mind, please?
A little bit, yeah. So this week, I believe it may have been last week, actually. It's, again, hard for me to keep up. I'm sorry.
All the days run together, and they have run together over the past couple of weeks.
They do. But the quarantine and isolation piece of the chancellor's last email, they talked a little bit about quarantine and isolation and contact tracing. So those are going to be the things that I'm involved in, somewhat on the periphery, helping kind of set up the contact tracing program between us and MYIT and some of our nursing faculty who make up a volunteer medical team who have been just great, very helpful, MYIT and everybody. So we'll work with them on that kind of thing so that we can get information to people as quickly as possible about their need to quarantine or their need to isolate away from their family or what have you. If you're here on campus, we've got a number of apartments that are available and will be available for quarantine locations. And we like to use those apartments because they're bigger. You're going to have to stay in that room. And so we don't want to put you, if we can help it, in a traditional dorm space that's a little bit smaller. So as those, and I really do think that we have enough reserved to handle what we potentially will see. That we could see, you know, if the mask mandate and different measures that we're taking don't seem to work, we could see a number of cases that we're not able to handle. But I really think that if the things that we're doing now are going to impact us in the way that we feel like they should, then we'll be able to effectively quarantine people and keep them away and do it in a timely manner so that the spread doesn't get just completely out of control.
Do you see a point where you might have mass testing on campus through like the Department of Health and others? Is that a possibility?
That's all going to depend on the testing that's available in the state and what the Department of Health can help us with. Yeah.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you being on here. Before I let you run, anything else you would like to add, please? Because I know right now this is you're right. This is uncharted times. And so we're just kind of going through this in the unknown. And that might be part of the challenge, too, is trying to prepare for things when you're not certain really what's going to happen. That has to be a challenge.
It absolutely is. And, the thing that that I'll go back to and just kind of harp on is masking and wearing face coverings. There's a lot of information out there, if what you'll see in a lot of situations is that there is information about how effective they can be. There is information that kind of dispels some of the myths about them. I would encourage you to check some of that out. But one of the things that really stuck out to me on a really interesting video that showed like when you breathe, when you take a breath or you cough, it showed that the droplets like on a camera it was really neat. And it showed all that stuff coming way out and going way out in front of somebody. And then when they had the mask on, it just kind of comes out around the sides of the mask and it stays right here in front of your face. And our Return to Learn video kind of illustrates that. If you've watched that and you go check that out, the guy on the one side of the screen with no mask on coughs and all the stuff goes all over the person who's on the other side of the screen. They've got their mask on, it coughs, and all of the little animation of the breath and all that stays around that mask. And that's kind of the point. I mean, it's not going to stop everything, but it's going to keep it there, right there in front of you. But the video that I watched that had the camera that really showed that in real time, one of the things that caught my attention was towards the end. What we're talking about here is kind of a psychological thing. We're talking about changing people's behavior. And that's not an easy thing to do. Even more difficult is changing kind of a cultural thing. And I think not wearing masks is a cultural thing here. And that's even more difficult to change. But the thing that the guy on the video said that really stuck out to me was that in social science and psychology, they've seen that shaming, public shaming, does not work. So be patient with folks. Help them try to understand. Help, your friends and family who just don't get it. Help them try to understand and show grace. And I would ask that you would do that with us as we parse through some of these these changing situations here in the fall, and we try to adapt and adjust to them. It's going to be a little different, and it's going to be different, like you said, every day, every week. And we'll do our best, our level best, to keep up. Keep everybody informed. Just if anybody has any questions, they can reach out to me. My door's always open.
And that was Safety Officer and Emergency Manager John Carville at Arkansas State University. That full interview is available on our website now at kasu.org.